I think my what I preferred from his prediction was that there would be power market chaos.
Well, that's 2 for 2, 100% hit rate for me. Thank you very much.
Well done. Biggest battery balancing mechanism unit.
Hello.
So Dollymans, which is 100 megawatts.
Oh.
So you can now see like this 100 megawatt little bit of data going up and down.
Shout out to Dollymans. And then we've got salty batteries are coming down the road. When I made this prediction, it was going to be March, April time, I think, this year.
Yeah.
And it's still hung on there. FFR, the best frequency response service in the world ever. Still my favorite, the OG. Hung on there until the end of November.
I don't think it's far-fetched to say like we might add 2.5 gigawatts.
We should have a leaderboard of ERCOT versus.
We should make this a thing.
Another leaderboard. This is too many leaderboards as this.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Transmission for our final episode of the year. Last year, Quentin and Alex sat down to give their predictions for batteries in the year 2023. And in this episode, Wendell joins Quentin to review some of those predictions and share theirs for the year ahead. As always, if you are enjoying the podcast, please give us a rating and hit subscribe. It really helps us to reach a wider audience. With that, let's jump in and we'll see you in the new year.
And so we've reached the end of another wonderful year on this planet. Wendell, thanks for coming on the podcast.
No worries, Heike.
And last year we had Alex on for this special one. But this year we've got you because it's his birthday. We should probably say happy birthday, Alex.
Happy birthday, Alex.
And because it is the week before Christmas, we actually ran around the office looking for as much Christmassy stuff as we could find. And we found one Christmassy thing. So if you are watching this, there is an elf on the shelf who usually sits on the shelf in our office. He's come out for today to prove it is Christmas. And so yeah, special episode, a bit silly. We're going to talk about predictions for next year and review our predictions for last year. Although you weren't here last... Well, you were here, but you weren't on the podcast last
year. I was here. I wasn't on the podcast, so I'll be Alex for the first part.
And he had some pretty good ones, although I think we're going to find out they're not all wins. So unfortunately, you're going to get some shade today. Should we jump straight in?
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
I can go first.
Go on.
So Alex slash my first prediction from last year was that the BM value, so the balancing mechanism value for battery storage, will not really go up in 2023. And I think that has proven to be true. There's been a lot of coverage, words in newspapers. We've seen kind of like reach like headlines.
Even Modo Energy made it onto Sky News Friday night.
Yeah. If you were watching at like 11 p.m.
No, it was a big... It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal.
It was everywhere. You couldn't turn on the telly without seeing Modo Energy.
No, yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, thanks to Ed.
Thanks to Ed Conway, yeah.
But yeah, so despite all the talk about it, it's kind of not really changed in 12 months.
So batteries aren't really making more in the BM than they were last year.
No.
Despite all of the words.
Despite all the words. Should caveat that we saw the kind of open balancing platforms, this kind of long-heralded sort of software release, which has been coming for a long time, come last week. And then immediately it was kind of taken offline for batteries because they found a bug. But
it was taken offline? I missed that.
So it was online for like 3 days. And then we got an email on Friday saying they'd taken it offline.
Oh, that's a shame. Short term. I was going to do a massive shout out for that.
Well, I think we still do a huge shout out. Like I think we went to the balancing program event like just before it launched, and it does look very impressive. I think the huge elephant in the room with it all is just that it still requires like this big human element.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully for 2024, that'll be something we see improving.
All right, so insert sound here, Izzy, please, of like ding or something. Insert sound here of me not doing that. Right, so I should probably go next.
Yeah,
I said that grid connections were. Well, the whole grid connection thing was going to come to a giant head and someone would resolve it with pragmatism. And not to blow my own trumpet, but that basically happened.
It's happened, yeah. I think we've seen like all of the kind of parties involved in this thing. So Ofgem, we've seen sort of National Grid, ESO, and the government all kind of like take steps. They all look and sound very similar with each other, but... It sounds like some of what you predicted last year has happened.
So last year was essentially all about supply chains. And this year has been all about grid connections. Yep. We shall see what next year is all about. But I know you've got some suggestions. So that's a big tick in the box for me. Thank you very much. I'll take that. Number two, what's yours, Alex/Wendell?
So this was kind of like a two-parter. So the first was that we would see big, big batteries, even bigger batteries. So last year, there were the first few 100 megawatt systems. This year, we've seen three new 100 megawatt batteries, but none bigger. So that's maybe a...
Are they one... Is it bigger in energy capacity?
About the same.
About the same. Oh, yeah. So it's just on the edge.
We have seen, for the nerdy people, the biggest battery balancing mechanism unit.
Hello.
So Dolymans, which is 100 megawatts.
Oh.
So you can now see like this 100 megawatt bit of data going up and down.
Shout to Dolymans.
but yeah, I think probably maybe next year, but we'll come on to that.
So unfortunately, Alex/Wendell, that's a no. Although actually, there's been some pretty giant batteries in Texas, California. There's big batteries going in all over the place. Just still the biggest battery here a year later is still 100 megawatts in power.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, it's my turn. So number two, I said there was going to be a slowdown in the deployment of assets because of interest rates, so higher interest rates. And I think I deserve this one as a tick, but I think the answer is different, right? So I think a lot of the assets that have been built this year, they'd already gone through financial close at the end of last year. So the work had already kind of happened. But there was a slowdown in asset deployment, but it was mainly due to grid connections.
Yeah, like I think... Well, slow down, but actually it sped up, but not as quickly as we thought.
A slowdown and acceleration.
A slowdown and acceleration. But yeah, a lot of that is just, I guess, like you said before, supply chains from last year and some connection problems. Whether we start to see some of these, more financial, interest rate issues filter through to the next few years.
Well, we'll see. The Fed's on the turn. Fingers crossed, cost of capital is going to come down next year. But that's two for two, 100% hit rate for me. Thank you very much.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you, Alex/Wendell. How about you? What's your number two?
Number three.
Oh, your number two is a number three. Nice move.
So Alex's number three from last year was that we would see both the highest monthly revenues for battery storage.
Oh yeah, this one really annoyed me.
And
last
the
year.
Lowest.
This is not a
monthly
prediction.
Revenues for battery storage.
I don't even think this even counts. You can't say so, you can't. Yeah, he hedged it, and then he, whatever.
So I think my what I preferred from his prediction was that there would be power market chaos.
Yeah,
in
power
January.
Market chaos. That's what he said.
That didn't happen. In fact, I'd say this year has been pretty boring from the kind of wholesale market side of things. But yeah, in terms of that prediction, that we have seen the lowest battery revenues, and whether December will be lower still remains to be seen.
When was the lowest?
November.
So last month.
Yeah. So we can thank the launch of the Enduring Auction capability platform for that.
How low is low?
So I think the number in November was around £35,000 per megawatt per year. So annualized.
Okay.
Which if you compare...
Just under $3,000 a megawatt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty low. Okay, but we're going to blame the enduring auction capability for that.
Yeah.
And you kind of got a half mark there, I think.
Yeah.
Though I would question whether that was even a prediction at all. And then my third one was, that we're going to have more LFP batteries built instead of NMC. And I can't prove it, but we are right. So we're still putting the data together on this. So I can't come up with an actual number, but I'm sure it's more than half. And we're going to follow up with the numbers shortly.
Yeah, and just on that, then that's the cell chemistry.
Sorry, yeah, the cell
things
chemistry.
Which cleverer people than us probably spend a lot of time looking at.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen a big change in the market. You've seen CATL now pretty much dominating. The OEM, the battery supply chain market, the cell market has really changed the last couple of years. And then we've got salty batteries are coming down the road, which is amazing because they've got way less, the core parts of them don't require going down mines in, unfortunate conditions. And so the cost base for sodium cell batteries should be much, much lower. Very excited about that. And there's a ton of R&D, R&D capital going into that. So watch this space. Maybe one of my predictions for next year should be sodium batteries for the win.
Okay.
And then I've got, I don't really know what this is, but it just says bonus, eat my hat.
So this is because you very confidently said that when it comes to 2024, monthly FFR, so firm frequency response, will still be a thing.
And I said I was going to eat my hat, didn't I?
You said you'd eat your hat. And in fact...
I was basically right. So it was supposed to... So monthly ever first... it depends which calendar, firstly, that you're using. But so monthly FFR was supposed to be phased out the end of last year originally, remember? It was basically before winter.
It's been ongoing a while.
Yeah. And then it was going to be Q1, I think. And then when I made this prediction, it was going to be March, April time, I think, this year.
Yeah.
And it's still hung on there. FFR, the best frequency response service in the world ever. Still my favorite, the OG. Hung on there until the end of November.
Yeah.
So one more month and I wouldn't be here eating my hat. I don't really have a hat to eat.
There's an energy economy cap.
Maybe we'll come back to that. I've just had a crown. I don't think I'm going to be able to tuck into that. I'm in quite a lot of pain, actually. Okay. It says specifically inedible on it. So I don't know. We'll have to figure something out. I'll eat a hat. Just not now. All right. There's the first bit. That's all about the past.
Mm.
Oh, past. What a wonderful year it was. And now let's talk about 2024. 2024 is quite exciting because it's our fifth year of existence as Modo Energy. I can't believe that's going to happen. We need to have a big party. That'll be around May time. And hopefully lots of other exciting things for us to talk about. So, Wendell, do you want to go first?
So, clearly I've not deviated much from what Alex was talking about. So, my first prediction from 2024 is still about the balancing mechanism. So despite, you know, this the launch of the open balancing platform, all the kind of stuff we've seen, I think that really, like, when we look at, like, fundamentally how batteries are used and the revenues they're earning, like, nothing's going to change until we get to the end of next year, which is when hopefully we'll see this big update where essentially the control room can actually see how much energy each of these things has.
What's that called?
It hasn't really got a name yet. It's called, like, the overall thing is called enhancing storage in the balance mechanism.
Okay.
But it's to solve this thing.
Sounds really good.
It sounds good, yeah. And it's to solve this thing called the 15-minute rule. Which essentially at the moment, the control room, so the person sat in the control room looking at all these batteries only knows that they can be used for 15 minutes. And actually a lot of stuff that happens in the balance mechanism is longer than 15 minutes. And so, yeah, hopefully that will be a pretty like fundamental change to what can be done with batteries.
And when is that coming?
Q4 2024.
Planned. So hold on, your prediction is not a prediction, it's just the status quo for longer.
Well, my prediction is that until that happens, probably some of the, you know, what we've heard and what we've seen might not quite come to fruition.
Okay, right. This status quo, that doesn't count as a prediction. But all right, I've put myself on the line on mine. I just wanted to know that. All right, my first one's I think is massive. It is that demand flexibility is going to be way bigger and quicker and sooner than everyone thought. So. What is demand flexibility? It's residential and small stuff essentially turning off or turning down. When the Ukraine war happened and we had the gas crisis, which was like a supply, weirdly actually, was a supply shock that never really happened. It just ended up being a price shock.
Yeah.
But anyway, I suppose the price incentivized people filling up storage and things, which is what markets are supposed to. Anyway, then there was Octopus brought out the demand flexibility service. And then Octopus have been working in the background to get this thing off the ground and the other suppliers as well. And then now we've got demand flexibility being used in non-crisis times.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm going to put you on a spot here. I think it's gigawatts, isn't it?
It's a big number. I think it's like, yeah, at least like 500, 600 megawatts. But I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of gets up to the gigawatt scale quite quickly.
And I think now, I think the gas crisis forced demand flexibility to be a thing. And now the genie's out the bottle about how useful demand flexibility can be. I mean, how you pass that on to, you know, actual, like, onto people's bills and all that. The stuff behind it, I don't know whether it's all there yet. I know Octopus have done it, but whether a few quid off your bill makes a meaningful difference and encourages it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, the genie's out the bottle, and I think demand flexibility is going to be huge. I even think perhaps that electricity suppliers will see it as a big point of competition against each other about who can provide the best demand flexibility service, which is great because in a market that feels a bit commoditized sometimes, and energy suppliers, it's their job to make it not that, there's a real tangible thing they can put themselves on and say, look, we have loads of volume in demand flexibility or whatever. So that's quite exciting.
I think it's really exciting. Like, I think there are definitely some sort of problems with how So essentially, it's all based around this market called Demand Flexibility Service, which the ESO have brought out and brought back this year. There's some problems there because, like, it's, if you were to look at it like with a sort of...
Here we go.
Well, if you look at it in one way, you'd be saying that they're paying quite a lot for power that they don't necessarily need.
Who's paying? At
the ESO.
Okay, the National Grid.
National Grid. But
why? Because DFS is expensive.
Yeah, so I think in a few weeks ago, they were paying like upwards of £3,000 per megawatt hour for some sort of turn down through DFS. But then the wholesale market was clearing in the region of about £250. So that's a big gap there. But yeah, I think that's probably something which, I don't know, maybe in 2024 we'll start to kind of bridge that gap.
Well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I think it's your turn.
Yeah, back to me. So actually, yeah, what we haven't talked about yet is REMA.
Oh, we need a REMA gong.
The review.
REMA's come out.
The Review of Electricity Market Act. And at some point soon, I think it's now been pushed back to the start of next year, we're expecting REMA 2. So REMA 1 was actually just a big load of like kind of words.
What do you say the start of next year? Start of 2024?
Start of 2024.
Okay.
But basically my big prediction is that by the end of 2024, we will still be arguing about locational marginal pricing versus versus zonal versus national, like nothing, like fundamentally we're going to be in the same position in
all right
time.
Okay, another status quo prediction or whatever. Well, there's a few things happening actually. We've got, yeah, we are going to be arguing about that stuff. We're going to have the new National Grid ESO will become the...
FSO.
The FSO.
Future System Operator.
Which, what colour is it going to be? It was blue. The website was blue, wasn't it? And then
it's now orange.
It went orange.
ESO, yeah.
So maybe we should predict the colour of the website. I'm going to go green. Green's back in vogue.
I think it could be, yeah, maybe green. Like, so the big thing with
matches
the FSO...
WPD, actually.
Matches that. So the big thing with the FSO is that, in theory, they might now have a mandate for actually progressing the electricity system and the gas system to net zero. So at the moment, the ESO essentially, that doesn't come into the way they operate, but the FSO, in theory, because it's set by government, it will do.
Okay.
So green works.
What does that actually mean in practice?
I think we need to see, but basically the FSO at a high level will play a much more active role in sort of shaping the strategy, which I guess working much closer with government in order to actually work out what can be done. So it's not going to be this private entity anymore. It will just essentially be a part of sort of non-private part of government. And yeah, I think it means that they can probably be a lot bolder in taking certain actions than they have been to date.
Hmm. I wonder whether this means they can go away from being agnostic with types of generation or types of thing.
Well, that's where it comes into this like net zero perspective. Like, if they've got a mandate to sort of push the electricity system towards net zero, then I don't think they can be technology agnostic forever.
Mm. Well, we could do a whole podcast on that because I've got some pretty contrarian views on that. Let the market do the thing, but that's my answer to everything. Just let the market do the thing. My second one is consolidation, which I believe will be consolidation of pretty much everything. So we've had a period of higher rates and there's lots of business models and companies that have come into some stress. So there's firstly, I think there's gonna be consolidation due to that. Secondly, which is kind of normal in market cycles. Secondly, I think the world of renewables and flexibility is quite disjointed. There's lots of small players and there's lots of doubling up on people doing jobs that if you brought them all together, you could get efficiencies there. So we can see what happens there. And then I guess the third thing is private equity deal making has been down this year. And if rates come down, I think there'll be a lot more private equity deals as batteries and renewables mature, especially batteries mature as an asset class. There's much more interest in holding them by the big players. I think we could see a lot of consolidation next year, which is exciting from a kind of efficiency perspective. But I hope it doesn't take away some of the magic.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're starting to see it happen, like the KKR deal for Znobi, the deal for Stratera. You know, these are big, big like private equity players who previously haven't really been involved in batteries. So that's like very kind of exciting for the industry that it's now kind of been looked at as this infrastructure asset. But yeah, if you look more widely, I think the consolidation point, yeah, I think it's kind of natural. Like we've been in this area where it's been hyper competitive. We have so many competing kind of companies. Essentially, offering very similar services. And I think it's only natural that at some point you start to see kind of like the bigger fish eat the smaller ones.
Is next year the year that Modo buys Bloomberg? I think it could be the year.
I think it could be.
All right, what's your third one?
So my third and final one is that, so for those who kind of were watching maybe a bit of the power prices this year, we had this time, I think it was in June, where for the first time we had like negative power prices and like loads of it. And I think in 2024, that number is going to just keep going up and up. So 2023, I think we had a total of 77 hours of negative pricing, having been at essentially like zero the year before. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's happened very quickly. And in 2024, I think that number is going to get like way bigger, like kind of days or like, I don't know, maybe like hundreds of hours.
77 hours. What is that? I should be able to do that in my head, but I can't. What is that in percentage terms? That's like, well, I know it's 3 days.
3 days.
It's about 1%, so 1%, right? 1% yeah. of negative pricing. Wow, that's quite a big number. And then you say that number's going to go up. That could be quite bad for... Isn't there a rule to do with offshore wind or wind in general where if you have loads of negative settlement periods, you basically lose your payment?
Yeah, so new CFDs, so I think as of auction round 3 or 4, yeah, essentially any negative payments won't result in a sort of... any negative wholesale power prices won't result in you receiving your CFD payments. So basically those wind farms then start to self-curtail during negative prices, which we started to see this year. It's kind of the first time then we've actually seen that happen. But that will happen more and more.
What else does that mean, right? So let's say you're right. Let's say we go from 1% to... I'm putting your number in your mouth here. Let's say you go from 1% to 3 or 4%. What does that mean for batteries? And what does it mean for the system?
Well, I think it's good news for batteries in general. Like, it's the whole point behind batteries is they both can, you know, take actions, make money when the system's really tight, when there's really high prices, but also they can kind of profit when the complete inverse is true. There's way too much power in the system, prices go to zero or negative. So essentially, if a battery is charging up when the price is negative, it's getting paid to charge. So yeah, I think that is probably going to be a much, much bigger portion of what batteries will be spending their time doing. They'll be earning more from that in 2024.
But you've got to be careful though, right? Because the battery business case depends on... So okay, the thesis, why build a battery? Build a battery because there's going to be a load more renewables. It's intermittent. Intermittency means volatility. Volatility means batteries make money, right? But if there's a load... If prices go negative too much, there won't be a load more renewables because you're basically cannibalizing your own business case. And therefore, batteries might make money on the negative prices in the short term. But long term, there's probably a phrase better than this, but you're sort of eating your own like cake and eat it. There's a thing to say there.
Yeah, and I guess that's where like the changes to the CFD are trying to kind of get ahead of that, because that was a big driver is when the very first few rounds of the CFD, they can just continue operating through negative prices and still get paid.
I thought it was 6 hours or six settlement periods or six. I think there is a time limit.
6 hours, but I think in the very latest round, it's getting bought to essentially just any settlement period.
Interesting. Well, so you're three. BM, no change. REMA, no change. They are not predictions, but fine. And then you reckon loads of negative pricing. What's going to drive the negative pricing? Why do you say that?
So I think what we've seen from this year is like two things. I think firstly, we're just getting more and more wind. Like I think the amount of wind coming on the grid is happening probably, even though you look at the numbers and the forecasts, it happens actually a lot quicker than you think in real time. But alongside that, like this sort of massive explosion in rooftop solar, which is really hard to get the numbers for. Like we don't have the old FITs and things with the FIT registers. So it's hard to know what the number is for that.
Hold on, what are you saying here? You're saying that there's loads of solar going onto people's rooftops and we don't have the data on where it is or...
After the Ukraine war, after the kind of gas price crisis, you know, all of a sudden the payback period for rooftop solar has kind of, I don't know, I want to say halved. I mean, it might even be quicker than that now. And so...
It does seem to get talked about. I know a few people who have got it in the last 12 months and I don't really care. I don't even think they even care about the payment. But
no, I think care. That's...
It's more about they want to be self-sufficient.
Yeah. I think that's I think that's probably the bigger driver. And the second part of my two parts, which is pretty linked, is that actually that's happening a lot more in Europe.
Okay.
And so we're getting these periods. So Netherlands, they're like minus £500 per hour. They've got so much solar. It's like nuts. Like, look at the numbers for it. It's actually mad how much solar capacity they've got for the size of the grid. And in any time they're getting those prices with the interconnectors, then it's basically flowing over to us. And so, you know, it's all kind of linked, but I think it's Europe is even more the case than here.
Mm. Well, I've got nothing more to say on that. We shall see. Okay, so BM no change, Rima no change, negative pricing.
Loads.
My last one. Oh, well, it's election year next year.
Well, so, might not be, but probably.
How could it not be?
Oh, so no. I think they can technically be an election 2025, yeah.
I was actually thinking about the US election, but yeah, so it's the US election and UK election. So UK, I mean, you only have to stick your head outside, look at any poll, and it looks like we're going to have a change of government. What does that mean? Probably this, assuming it's Labour gets in, we should do a podcast on what the manifestos say, but yeah. We don't expect a great deal of difference.
I think I think there's some like headline increase in renewables, but I can't, yeah, in the short term, it's hard to see anything kind of changing off the back of it.
Let's see what comes. When it comes out next year, we should read them and review them. And then in the US, I mean, the big risk really is the Inflation Reduction Act. There's elements of the Inflation Reduction Act which are at risk if Donald Trump gets in. He's pretty much said that. Although to what extent and how that happens, it's to do with some nuances of how tax credits are applied. That's a whole podcast in itself. But yeah, watch the space on that one. But there'll be lots of election chat. I love elections. Election year, something to talk about, isn't it?
So is that your prediction? There's going to be lots of elections.
No, I was trying to tee up some. I don't know. It's election. I just wrote down elections. No, I did have another one. The third one. So, the carbon. Finally, I reckon someone is going to fix this carbon situation where carbon price, you know, carbon certificates are not matched. We're going to have matched carbon on a time basis, a half hour or hour, or I don't know, I don't care. There's some companies trying to solve this right now. I really hope that we get to time matched carbon certificates next year.
Why is that going to change? What's going to be driving that?
Okay, so I think the reason why that's going to change is, but I might be biased because I've just done a lot of reading on it recently. I think there's a lot of press on the way the carbon market works and how it could be improved, to put it lightly. And I think that the amount of press coverage of that has hit a tipping point where something will end up being done about it. I think you got to a point where, I don't know, whether 0% of the population know about it, and now like 10% of the population know about it. It's probably less than that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is like a forceful 10%, which ends up having a kind of force multiplier. That's my assumption. But then I have also just done loads of reading about it. And the more I read about it, the more I think we need to solve it now.
I think it's really cool. And I think what's interesting about it is that, like, you can see it with REGOs. Like, the price went from basically like zero to, I don't even know, like £15. But, like, if you were to look at like the economic value of what that's doing, like, it's not really worth that. But there's clearly a big kind of consumer drive for it. And yeah, as soon as that switches to wanting, okay, well, I want to match hourly rather than just this kind of monthly matching, then you can see that change.
So watch the space, carbon matching. I've got some bonus ones because I got excited. Have you got any bonus ones?
I didn't come with any. I wasn't prepared to eat my own hat next year.
All right, I've got a couple of bonus ones. Firstly, this is one of yours actually. It's just like, there is no capacity market event next year. So my prediction is more nothing burger of capacity market events.
Yeah.
Although it would be really exciting if there was something.
I think it would be. I think the conclusion from this year, and I think it's not going to change next year, is that actually there's quite a lot of capacity. I think we're okay for now.
We're okay for now. Yeah. Oh, triads though.
Triads.
Do you want to talk about triads for a second?
Yeah, so this is the first winter since there was this big change to triads. And so triads was just this sort of whopping great big payment you could get for avoiding importing in one of like three settlement periods, so three half hour periods over winter, which kind of drove like a lot of business cases for, I mean, like, you know, behind the meter storage, you could basically make it work just based off this one thing.
And you could make it not work, not based on it.
And you can make it not work if you missed one of the triads.
But wasn't, you know, when they said they were going to take, I can't remember what it was like 2017 or something like that, when they decided they were going to, it was a targeted charge review, TCR. Yes.
So that's what's finally
happened. Oh.
Yeah. I think like when I started working in batteries, that was like one of the first things I went to. And then it just still.
But one of the arguments back then was you can't take triads away because the system will get too tight, because you've got, I don't know, gigawatts and gigawatts of all this behind the meter stuff that you can't see. And if you take triads away, you're going to have no reserve. It's like hidden reserve, basically. And the lights will go out. And that didn't really happen, did it? Although, actually, it's not, well, even January or February.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we've... So the one kind of very cold period, so end of November, beginning of December, like we saw almost like higher demand than the highest demand we saw all of last winter. And that was when we had kind of like that ice and snow, and it was like this like blizzard.
So triads going away is actually could push up peak demand because net, they're not running for triads.
Yeah,
in the north.
I think we'll see peak demand increase just because triads just don't exist as a thing. Mm. Well, for like probably 70% of the country anymore.
I'm going to make that a prediction that there's going to be a capacity market event because they took triads away on the third Wednesday after Christmas, as it always is. All right, I think another bonus one. I've got a lot of bonus ones. Sorry, Izzy, if you're expecting this to be a short podcast. There's going to be more batteries built in ERCOT in Texas than the whole of GB in 1 year. So we've got what we got at the moment?
3.5 gigawatts.
3.5 gigawatts in Great Britain. I reckon they'll add 3.5 gigawatts of new batteries in ERCOT next year, which is absolutely insane, but very doable.
But I don't think it's far-fetched to say like we might add 2.5 gigawatts here.
We should have a leaderboard of ERCOT versus... We should
make this a thing.
Another leaderboard. Too many leaderboards as it is. Okay, and another one. Okay, they're all getting a bit silly now. I think there's going to be more... I think the ratio of hydrogen press releases, so press releases around hydrogen projects too, so that's like the numerator, and the denominator is actual hydrogen projects getting built. I think that's going to be infinity.
I agree.
All right, so to recap, it's the end of the year. Happy Christmas, everybody. If you've been listening to this podcast, we've been doing this now for how long? 2 years? Izzy, the producer, is nodding. This is completely off the cuff, but a Christmas message to you. Christmas message to you from all of us at Modo is thanks for supporting the podcast and all of us. It really is a delight to do this. And our predictions for next year in recap are, Wendell?
The BM won't change.
There you go. There's a reminder.
My predictions next year, so the balancing mechanism for batteries won't really change until the end of the year.
Yeah, snort.
REMA will still just be talking about LNP, zonal, national pricing at the end of next year.
Not a prediction, yeah.
And we're going to see loads and loads of negative power prices, like loads.
Loads. Can you put a number on it?
770 hours.
770 hours.
Times what we have this
year. Cool. And then for me, a few bonus ones, but demand flexibility service is going to be big. Consolidation of everything. Half hour carbon. Well, just carbon market, a carbon market that is matched to time. And there will be two elections next year.
And loads of chat.
And some bonus ones. Capacity market event, there won't be one, but that's not really a prediction. More batteries in ERCOT built next year than the whole of GB right now. Lots of press releases about hydrogen and some sodium batteries. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. Wendell, thank you very much for Wendell/Alex. Thank you very much for joining me.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
And we should probably say Merry Christmas to everybody. So if you're listening, Merry Christmas.